If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Broadly, I've made the case that no society can truly succeed unless it guarantees the rights of all of its peoples, including religious minorities.
We've got a blind spot here with two sides. The two halves of the First Amendment don't get along very well. It's hurting our coverage. It's hurting how the church views the world. It's just hurting public life.
We don't sit through sermons where we feel like, oh man, pastor's been spying on me this week. He is keeping tabs on my sins because he is listing them all off in the sermon.
There's no place that Christ hasn't been. He goes even into the very depth of hell, Satan's headquarters, to say the victory has been won.
Lord of truck drivers, love issues, etc.
I can't be the only one, in fact, I'm certain I'm not the only one, who, observing for the last 30 or so years the kind of creep of, mission creep of the environmental movement, noticed something. I think it was noticeable several decades ago that mankind kind of came in for all the blame when it came to environmental problems. Whatever they may be, big or small, it all eventually led back to the doorstep of us. We're the problem. So that kind of general blame us first of the modern environmental movement is no surprise to anybody. In fact, some even within the environmental movement will be honest about it. But does the misanthropy of the environmental movement go deeper than that? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon. It's the 21st of February. Wesley Smith joins us for the next half hour or so. We're going to be talking about environmentalism's war against human beings. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got four soundbites that we play for you. All you got to do is listen, and then you call, send an email, a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour. Your chance to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mag pen, bumper sticker, notepad, and mouse pad. That goes to the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote in advance for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Wesley Smith is a regular guest. He's senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, author of several books, including A Rat is a Pig, Is a Dog, Is a Boy, The Human Cost of the Animal Rights Movement. He writes a column for National Review Online called Human Exceptionalism, and he's featured prominently in a new documentary titled The War Against Humans. Wesley, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you doing? And it's the press release is wrong. It's called The War on Humans, not against humans, and it is a documentary that is basically based on an ebook that I just have out by the same name.
So let's talk about the question. I'm nobody's surprised that human beings get blamed for most of everything that the environmentalist movement has discovered that is wrong with the world. But does the misanthropy, that you say profoundly misanthropic, bent of environmentalism, does it go deeper than even that?
Yeah, you know, as you said, we've been hearing to an increasing degree this idea that humans are the enemy of the planet. Sir David Attenborough, you know, is about as mainstream an environmentalist as you get. He's the British presenter of all of those wildlife documentaries, has called human beings the plague on the planet. David Suzuki, who's a rock star in the environmental movement, the Canadian television personality and scientist, who's really prominent in the global warming issue, back in the early 70s, in fact, that's how I start the book, I quote him, he tells some people, some young people around him, that he sees human beings as the maggots of the Earth, and he says all we do is go around and you-know-whatting on the planet. And but just a couple of years ago, he was given the opportunity to take that back, and he wouldn't. He said, well, I'm just sorry humans are so human. When you get to the place where you believe that human beings are the problem, when you begin to believe human beings are the enemy of the living Gaia, because you're kind of turning environmentalism into a neo-Earth religion, then you begin to promote policies that reflect that value system. And I'll just give you one example. There is something moving forward very strongly now in the environmental movement, in fact, into law. It's called nature rights. And let me give you a quote what nature rights are. And this is from the Constitution of Ecuador. Nature, or Pacamama. Pacamama is the Incan earth goddess, not coincidentally. Where life is reproduced and exists, has the right to exist, persist, maintain, and regenerate its vital cycles, structure, function, and its processes and evolution. In other words, nature rights gives nature what might be called a right to life. And this right is co-equal in the places where nature rights is legal to the rights of humans. Now you might say, well, Wes, it's just Ecuador, a small South American country, or, well, it's also Bolivia. Well, that's also a small South American country. Well, it's also the law of at least 30 cities in the United States, including Pittsburgh and Santa Monica. Well, Todd, I grew up in Los Angeles. I know Santa Monica like the back of my hand. There's no nature left in Santa Monica. There's nothing to protect. So what you really have is a statement of ideology, and that ideology says human beings are just another animal in the forest. And the idea behind that is, well, if we see ourselves as just this kind of one with every other part of nature, not better, not worse, just co-equal, that we'll be gentler on the land. But I think that's ridiculous. If we identify ourselves as an animal, that's how we'll act. That's precisely how we'll act. We'll go for what we want and what serves us in the moment. That's how animals act. Humans have a higher obligation. We have a duty, for example, to treat the environment responsibly because we're human. That's what gives us the duty, human exceptionalism. Who else supports nature rights? Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations. This is not some kind of nut off in a corner someplace. This is as establishment as it gets. It has even been proposed for inclusion in the United Nations Treaty to fight global warming. And, of course, global warming is the most mainstream environmental issue out there at the moment.
So what you're saying here, several things. One, the environmental movement is no longer just about managing our environment better, finding better ways to live within our environment.
That's correct. Yes, it is becoming about changing. In fact, it's becoming about changing the ultimate purpose of and backbone of Western civilization, which is the unique dignity of man. It is about denying the unique dignity of man, dismantling us from our, you might call, the pedestal of exceptionalism, and trying to institute a new approach which is really destructive, because it will keep human beings mired in where there's current destitution. It'll keep them mired in destitution because they won't be able to develop their resources. And for those of us who already have a, you know, really luxurious and well-off lives compared to the rest of human history, it is to thwart and blunt the human prospering, supposedly because we're destroying the planet and to save the planet. But it's really about also power, the power of the technocracy to control the economies of the world and the value systems of the world.
This is what I don't understand here, Wesley. Maybe you can explain it to me, although I'm sure that you're as mystified as anyone else. It has to do with kind of the moral question. If man is merely another animal, animals are not held to... They do not develop or even recognize any kind of moral standards. They act on instinct.
They're amoral. Animals are amoral.
So how can it possibly be that man can be held morally culpable if he's just an animal?
This is the irony, isn't it? On one hand, they say, oh, human beings are not exceptional. It is hubristic to say that humans are exceptional. I remember giving a speech at Gonzaga Law School on the importance of human exceptionalism and the idea that humans have unique duties, but we also have unique value. And at least nine times during a 45-minute speech, I was saying that this exceptional nature of ours gives us the duty to treat animals humanely. This was in the context of animal rights. And of course, to treat the environment responsibly. And the animal rights contingent, of course, came out to protest. And during the question and answer, they told me I was arrogant and hubristic. And so I said, fine, if being human isn't what gives me the duty to treat an animal properly, tell me what does. And it was like Jackie Gleason on The Honeymooners, hamana, hamana, hamana. They had no answer because you're absolutely right. On one hand, they say we're not unique, we're not special. On the other hand, they say we have unique duties to self-sacrifice ourselves, sometimes to the extreme, to cause extreme self-deprivation in order to save the animals because we have a higher duty. Well, if we have that higher duty, that means we're exceptional. So the logic escapes these people because it's based on ideology. And it's also an attack on Judeo-Christian values because I think there's a part of this that seeks to dismantle Judeo-Christianity as the moral foundation of the West. And certainly I think there's a desire on at least some of the parts of these advocates to break the back of Christian faith because they consider it moralistic and judgmental.
But you're saying that the genuine duty that man does bear
yes.
to responsibly deal with the environment is precisely based upon his intrinsic exceptionalism
exactly
as a human
correct.
Being.
Exactly correct. And, you know, just to show you the difference in how things have become, back in the early 50s, I don't know if you remember, I'm older than you, but there was I used to see this in the matinees. There was a wonderful old science fiction movie called The Day the Earth Stood Still. And Michael Rennie is an old actor. He's long gone now, but he was a space alien. He came down in a flying saucer with the killer robot Gort to save humankind from itself. And the idea behind the movie was, listen, the space community, kind of like a Star Trek that would come later on, has noticed that human beings have become technological, that we've developed a rocketry in order to get into space, but we've also developed these atomic weapons. This is, of course, as the Cold War was really heating up. And so the space alien is sent to Earth to save us from ourselves. They did a remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still a few years ago starring Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves, of course, is an A-list Hollywood actor. I mean, you don't get bigger than that. And the storyline was pretty much the same, but the purpose was different. The alien did not come down to the Earth to save humankind from itself because we're worth saving. The alien came down in the remake to kill each and every one of us. Total genocide to save the Earth. They even had a Noah's Ark kind of scene where the animals were being taken off the planet two by two to be restored to the planet once the great obliteration occurred. What a difference 60 or 70 years makes in terms of the thinking of Hollywood, which reflects, I think, a certain value system that is afoot in the land. It's very, very disturbing, and it's very, very destructive.
Wesley Smith is our guest. We'll take a break when we come back. More conversation with him on environmentalism's war against humans. We'll talk not only about population control, but now it's become population reduction. And we'll return to a subject he raised a few minutes ago, global warming and its role in environmentalism's war on humans. Does God work through children to help others? Do children have a vocation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is How Can I Help? God's Calling for Kids. It's a great book for children ages 4 through 8 and only costs $7.99. How Can I Help? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can check out How Can I Help? God's Calling for Children at IssuesETC.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, IssuesETC.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at IssuesETC.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. IssuesETC.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
To become famous in theology means to present something new and different. But if I present something new and different, this is bound to be heresy.
Are those homosexual activists bigots when they advocate that marriage not include groups, relatives, or other parties? I mean, I don't think so.
Here in this one event, you have disclosed in its most intense colors both the holiness and the love of God.
What we may be seeing with Stephen Furtick is not just the rise of a megachurch pastor, but we may actually be seeing the rise of somebody who might be a cult leader, more than just a megachurch pastor.
In about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc., a soundbite of the week, a simple game we like to play on Fridays with our listeners. We play four short soundbites for you. You listen, then you call, you email, you go to our Facebook fan page, and your vote decides which will be Issues Etc., soundbite of the week that's coming up here in about 20 minutes on this Friday afternoon. Wesley Smith is our guest. We're talking about environmentalism's war against humans. He's featured prominently in a new half-hour documentary titled The War on Humans. You can watch it at our webpage, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wesley, it used to be population control. We're talking about 40 years ago, more than 40 years ago, when these ideas were raised first and proved really kind of baseless in their concerns. But now, I take it, it's not control, it's reduction. Tell us about it.
Yeah, there's a huge difference, isn't there? The idea of people being able to control the timing and spacing of children and so forth is fine. I mean, people can argue about the techniques, but the idea is, you know, people decide this for themselves. But what is being argued now in order to, again, save the planet, notice how draconian and hyperbolic a lot of this advocacy is a reduction in the number of people on the planet. Well, what would that take to reduce the number of people on the planet? There are, I think, about, is it 7 billion now or maybe 9 billion? I forgot the exact number
We're
right now.
We're at 7, just over 7.
7, that's right, 7. And the one child policy in China has been actually complemented by many of the fighters of global warming. It has been complemented again by Sir David Attenborough, who considers us to be a plague on the planet. And the one child policy in China has involved forced abortion, female infanticide, a terrible tyranny. And yet, even despite all of that oppression, the number of people in China continues to rise. It has not fallen. All they've done with all of that tyranny is slow the rate of growth. If you are actually going to have a number reduction, it would take a terrible, terrible authoritarianism or a terrible pandemic disease, which some yearn for. I mean, Sir David Attenborough doesn't call for the kind of drastic actions it would take to reduce the number of people. But there may be other people who aren't so genteel, who if they pick up this utopian idea and ended up with any kind of power, we could have some real trouble. And again, I point to the China one-child policy. You've seen the tyranny, and even despite that, it has not caused the numbers of people in China to go down.
So is part of the response that we might kind of give to this when someone opines about how much better the world would be if there were only, say, 1 billion as opposed to 7 billion people, simply ask and maybe get that Rodney Dangerfield response yet again, how do you propose doing this in a realistic
time frame? Yeah, exactly. And they'll say, well, birth control. Birth control isn't going to do it. Forced abortion, as we've seen in China, isn't going to do it. It's going to, if you really are serious about reducing the numbers, it would take something very, very drastic. And you do have a lot of environmental, particularly in the academics area, hoping that there'll be like a massive swine flu epidemic to reduce us down. The lack of compassion here is really astonishing to me. The idea that people, for example, in sub-Saharan Africa, which is a terribly destitute area, but very rich in resources, that they should be prevented from electrifying the continent the way we're electrified in North America, that they should be prevented from exploiting their resources and developing their economy so that they have true prosperity in order to save the planet is cruel. But that's exactly what the idea is. Thus, you notice in the proposed global warming treaty that there would be a massive shift of wealth from the already developed world, which is us, to the developing world, towards the idea that they would not engage in all of these practices that made us so rich. Well, that's just creating, that would just create a cultures of dependency. That's a cruel idea to say that people have to be maintained in poverty and they can't obtain the wealth that we've been able to obtain, not only through the use proper use of resources, but through the rule of law, through market economies and so forth, regulated market economies. It really is not only in terms of its advocacy explicitly anti-human, but in terms of the policies and the consequences of the policies that are proposed, implicitly anti-human.
Here's one of my concerns here, Wesley, and that is, look, let's just say for the sake of argument that they got their way and they found some, they couldn't, but they found some kind of humane way to reduce the population. The next question, before you start your plan, is who do you leave behind? Who are the 1 billion get left behind? I can guarantee you, it won't be people like you, Wesley.
No, it'll be kind of like in eugenics. You know, the eugenics advocates said there were the fit and the unfit, and the fit are like us, and the unfit are people not like us. The people who would be left behind would be the deep ecologists, where this all comes from, the people who have these kinds of ideas that we should be returned to hunter-gatherer societies, only probably just gatherer societies. But it's even worse than that. To show you how crazy things get, Todd, when we give up on the idea of human specialness, human uniqueness, you actually now have advocacy for plant rights. Not just nature rights, not just animal rights, but plant rights. Switzerland has declared the individual dignity of plants in its constitution. They didn't know what that meant, so they hired a big bioethics committee to tell them what it was that made plants have individual dignity. I'm not talking about ecosystems. I'm talking about individual dignity of a plant. And they decided that it was kind of like a joke I've often told in debates. Sometimes in a debate on human exceptionalism, my adversary will say, well, you know, species distinctions are a fiction because we all evolved out of the same primordial ooze and we all share genes, you know, genes are throughout much of the world. And I'll say, well, if you really want to get reductionist, carrots are made of carbon molecules and so are people. So there's no difference between us and carrots. Well, cut to this bioethics report. And the one of the reasons given for the dignity of plants was that we share substances at the molecular level. So my joke has become a basis for the public policy of Switzerland that says plants have individual rights. And P.S., Switzerland is a country where They have suicide clinics where people fly in to be made dead. In fact, there was just a story I reported on the Human Exceptionalism blog of a woman who committed suicide at one of these suicide clinics because she was growing elderly and was losing her looks. Switzerland says it's a crime to flush a goldfish down the toilet, yet Switzerland has declared plant dignity. It's very, very crazy and very insidious, both explicitly and implicitly.
But see, to me, there again, we have kind of the philosophical, moral illogic of it.
If
we declare, say, the carrot in Switzerland to have an equal dignity to the human being based upon the fact that it shares with human beings substances at the molecular level, aren't they building plant dignity on an unrecognized human dignity?
Well, all of this aims towards basically kind of highlights exactly what you're saying, that there is something unique and special about humans, and so we've got to try to bring the rest of nature as close to humans as we can because, as you said, the paradox, we do recognize that humans are unique and valuable, but we don't want to admit that because it gets in the way of things we would like to do in terms of our ideology. So we try to bring animals or aspects of nature to as close to the human person as possible in order to allow us to do those things or to prevent humans from doing things that we don't want them to do because we think the planet's in danger.
Wesley Smith is our guest. When we come back a few more minutes with him, before we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, we'll continue our conversation on environmentalism's war against humans, and we'll talk about the role of global warming in that war. In advance of Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, remember our phone numbers, 1-877-623-6943, our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Facebook fan page where you can vote in advance. Facebook.com/issuesetc, Facebook.com/issuesetc.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and beef are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Whedon, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Colorado, Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois, and Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Wesley Smith is our guest. A few more minutes with him, talking about environmentalism's war on humans. Let's turn to the subject of global warming, which is well-worn territory. How would you characterize the role of that particular kind of environmental campaign in the overall war against humans?
You know, I think it's actually become kind of part and parcel of it. I'm not taking a position, and I don't in the book, as to whether or not human beings are contributing to the warming of the planet. But if we are, you can certainly make that case without resorting to the kind of anti-humanism that we're discussing. And let me give you an example of how this is actually the fight against global warming has really metastasized into a very cancerous approach to advocacy, particularly towards children. In the book, The War on Humans, which is the ebook that the documentary you mentioned is based on, I linked to an advertisement put out by the 1010 campaign. The 1010 campaign seeks to convince people to reduce their carbon output by 10% in order to reduce global warming. And this ad, it's really something. You have an elementary school teacher, and it's in England, so she has an English accent. And she's talking about this program, and she asks the kids, how many of you are going to participate? And almost all the kids raise their hand very enthusiastically. And then she says, how many are not? And two of the children kind of sheepishly say, oh, well, no, we're not. You know, we're not convinced. And she says, oh, well, that's all right. No pressure. And then she takes a black box with a red button. She pushes it. And I'm telling you, Todd, this is something to behold. The kids explode in very, very realistic, vivid flesh, blood, and gore all over the other children. In other words, these children in this ad are murdered because they do not have the right thinking process about global warming. And it's imagine if a conservative cause were promoted with the idea of killing children who didn't think right. The screaming would never end. Then when I was doing research again, I found on the Australian Broadcasting Corporation website, the ABC is equivalent to the BBC in the UK and PBS here, something called Professor Spinky's Greenhouse Calculator. Now, this was a game for children where the point of the game was to find out when they should die because they will have used up, listen, this is for kids, when they should die because they will have used up their fair share of resources. And when that time came when they should die, a cartoon pig explodes. The message being, one, when you use Earth's resources, you're a pig, and two, that you have to die at some point to save the planet. I took Professor Spinky's calculator. I should have died at 7.4. It's a very scary thing what they're doing to children. I have a friend. Now, this is an anecdote, but it kind of tells you something, and your listeners may want to find out from their children what they're being taught in school about global warming and the environment. He was taking his granddaughter on a drive through the High Sierra Mountains, and they pulled over to go to a restaurant, and there were some diggers digging into the earth, and this 3-year-old kid, it's not the kid's fault, got all upset and said, to Grandpa, they're hurting the planet. Well, she'd been taught this in an Episcopalian nursery school. So it's very, very disturbing, some of the self-loathing that is being taught to children.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism He's author of several books, including A Rat is a Pig is a Dog is a Boy, The Human Cost of the Animal Rights Movement. He writes a column for National Review Online called Human Exceptionalism, and he's featured prominently in a new half-hour YouTube documentary called The War on Humans. You can find a link to this half-hour documentary and watch it at the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Check it out this weekend, The War on Humans. Wesley, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd. It's always good to talk to you.